Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Samuel Bodman. Sam's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Commerce. And joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo.
Sam, let's spend some time talking about the department's management initiatives. Could you tell us about the department's response to the president's management agenda and the department's red and yellow light scores?
Sure. Tom, I'd be happy to. First, the president's management initiatives are five in number. First, the management or strategic management of human capital, of the human resources we have. Secondly, efforts on competitive sourcing, outsourcing those parts of governmental activity that might more appropriately be done in the private sector. Improving financial performance is the third area of responsibility. Expanding electronic government, or e-gov as we call it. And then lastly, integrating budget and performance measures. So those five areas. There could be others that the president might have initiated, but he chose to focus on those five. OMB has developed a two-tiered scorecard to monitor how the agencies are doing in implementing the PMA. They have progress ratings. That is to say, are we meeting our goals along the way that we said we would meet in terms of improving things? And then status ratings, how are we doing overall? The status ratings tend to be lower than the progress ratings. So because we found, OMB, I think correctly found when they came in and assessed the situation, that in these five areas, the government was really falling short of where it should be. With respect to how we're doing, the commerce folks have made significant progress. I'm quite proud of what we've accomplished. In the most recent scorecard, we have been rated in the so-called progress ratings. We've received green ratings. The evaluations are done in colors. Green, meaning things are going well or acceptably. Yellow, that it's kind of a mixed bag. And then red, you're failing or failing to do what you said you would do. We've gotten four greens in progress and one yellow where they've deemed that we have some problems. That happens to be in the eGov area. But there's substantial room for improvement in that we have, looking at the status of where we are, we have three reds and two yellows in the most recent one. So I'd say we're probably somewhat above average for the departments if you kind of look at the way all the departments are being evaluated. But more importantly, it's really been a useful tool inside the department to help all of us identify what the issues are and try to make progress. And it's a bit of a imprecise and imperfect measure of how we're doing that OMB is using, but I think it's an effective one. One example is in the financial area. The department received an unqualified opinion on just this last week on our 2002 financial statements, and we're close to completing the implementation of an integrated financial management system. That should be fully deployed by October of this year, and we think we'll see a follow-on to that in terms of the way we're evaluated. Financial management is a real problem for the government as a whole. The government as a whole does not have an unqualified financial statement, and we have significant problems in squaring up the financial measures of just how well we're doing. And the Commerce Department itself, as I said, I'm proud that we continue to make good progress, but the reason that the president has this as an objective is that it's a problem that permeates the whole federal government.
In addition to financial management, another issue that gets called out often is human capital management.
Right.
Could you tell us about your workforce restructuring plans and the issues, the human capital issues at the department?
I'd be happy to, Paul. We completed last year a plan, so-called workforce restructuring plan. And that's really the cornerstone to implementing the human capital initiative that I mentioned under the president's management initiatives. The plan identified three commerce-wide human capital challenges. First, looking at the high turnover that we have in some mission-critical occupations. Second, we, like many parts of the government, have an impending wave of retirements. And this is particularly among the senior executive service, so-called SES, our senior career employees, who are approaching retirement age. And we need to have a plan to respond to that and to be ready for those retirements. And then thirdly, we have the need to reshape the workforce competencies as the world has changed. For example, one of our specialists in the international trade area is retiring. His expertise happens to be the shoe industry, and he's one of the world's great experts on the shoe industry. Well, the shoe industry in the United States has declined in its importance, and so when he's replaced, probably makes more sense to bring in somebody with expertise in e-business or some other activity. So that's an example of the sort of planning we're doing. We're taking steps to respond to these issues. We revamped the SES candidate development program. People enter into this when they wish to become part of the SES, and we've established new performance measures for our senior executives. We've acquired an online training system, enhanced our web-based hiring system. We've revitalized the employee safety program throughout the department. That's been something of particular importance to me personally. And we've improved diversity recruitment efforts throughout the department. And lastly, several commerce bureaus on their own have done their own restructuring plans. These would include EDA, the Economic Development Administration, Patent and Trademark Office, and MBDA, which is our Minority Business Development Administration, a part of commerce that is focused specifically on the challenges of working with the minority business community. Each of these has restructured themselves and is working with Congress to get approval of their plans, which in general call for a decrease of the number of generals, if you will, who are in the headquarters, and having more sergeants and privates out in the field, working in the field offices with our clients, the American public.
How are you ensuring accountability for implementing your management agendas?
Much of that, Tom, is personal. Accountability is really focusing on delegating the responsibility to individuals and holding them accountable. I meet periodically with the bureau managers of each of the activities within the department to review their progress. We discuss some mid-course adjustments to their plans and programs. We have regular budget and operational oversight meetings that also keep me abreast of the improvements that are being made. Additionally, the secretary and I meet with senior managers from all of our bureaus every Monday morning at the executive, what we call the executive management team, EMT meetings. And we meet for an hour to an hour and a half. And we go over issues such as the president's management agenda. We deal with also any of the priorities that the department happens to be focusing on at that particular point in time. Our chief financial officer, who I work with directly every day, our chief information officer, also oversee day-to-day activities. And as I mentioned before, we've revised the annual performance agreements with our senior executives so that we can ensure individual accountability. Like any other management job, in order to ensure accountability, it really takes shoe leather, if you will. It takes personal time, face time with the employees, and that's really what my job is.
What are the management challenges, or maybe what's the slice on the answer you just gave for the department that has to coordinate and manage such a wide variety of programs?
Well, there are challenges because of the great diversity of what we do. We have a large number of employees all over the country, all over the world, as I mentioned before. We try to ensure that we don't overlap with the services of other government agencies, which is very important. And we try to make sure that we coordinate with federal programs, with states, with local governments, and work closely with our friends at OMB and on the Hill. Those are some of the challenges. It's a formidable task. And as I mentioned before, the only way that I know how to do this and the way we're working at it is to try to hire quality people, try to empower them, to delegate responsibility to them, to run their operations, and then to hold them accountable. Communication with them is key. So a lot of time, we spend a lot of time walking around, talking to people and trying to understand what they're doing.
How do you walk around when you have so many employees all around the world? How do you communicate to such a large group?
Well, we do it electronically. We do it. That's certainly part of it. The secretary travels the world a great deal. I do some of that since I tend to spend more of my time here in Washington. But it's a formidable task. As I say, each of the bureaus with people who are officed and function around the country and around the world are run by very capable people who travel an enormous amount. The woman who runs our Foreign Commercial Service, I frankly hardly ever see. If she attends and is welcome always at the EMT meetings on Monday morning, if she's there a quarter of the time, it's unusual. She's just gone. She's on the road working with her people. So it involves a lot of effort. It's a very management intense organization.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Sam Bodman of the U.S. Department of Commerce. What really takes place at the President's Management Council, the PMC? We'll ask Sam, who's one of its members, to give us the inside scoop when the Business of Government Hour returns.